It is 4 o'clock. I'm going to go ahead and call this LTD executive non-public session to order. I'm going to let everyone know we are actually holding two consecutive executive non-public sessions this evening. So we'll go ahead and start open the first one. The first one, the board will meet in executive non-public session pursuant to ORS 192.660 subsection 2F to consider information and records that are exempted by law from public inspection. So we'll go ahead and begin that one. And so all people who should not be here, which is, I guess everyone who's here is here, so that's good. Great. Who's leading that one? Is that you, AJ?
Which one are we doing
number
first?
Number one.
BYD?
Yeah.
That's Mark.
Oh, Mark's doing it.
Yeah, okay. Mark will start it off.
Yeah, go ahead, Mark.
BYD is first up.
Yeah. Do we need to put you at a mic?
What's that?
Do we need to put you at a mic?
Yes. Well, actually, he's got a presentation up there, too.
Oh, okay. Either one, or whatever's best for you.
Okay, so BYD came back with a proposal, and I think you all, did they get copies or did we?
Yeah, they have copies.
So, yeah, so they've all got copies, and I'll just go briefly over the terms, and do we have the chart, is it?
Yeah, that's what we have to minimize up there. Yeah, that's what should be up there.
Okay.
Should I open it up? Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
So I think she has it minimized.
So that'll, yeah, so we'll give you a chart in a minute. But so the basic terms are each party of to the original five-bus contract between BYD and LTD would terminate the original contract. So that's kind of, that one goes away, including all liquidated damages and arising out of that. So then we'll have to get a new contract for the five buses, which four of them we have, one of them still down in Lancaster. The new contract, they'll deliver the fifth bus as soon as possible. Under the new contract, they'll give LTD a six-month period to operate the buses without any obligation to pay BYD. And a new contract, once the trial ends, LTD will have the right but not the obligation to exercise either the following two options. One's to purchase a bus, the other is to lease buses. And the purchase price is $630,000. And original purchase price was $796,000. So they reduced the price of the buses significantly. BYD agrees that the bus warranty for the five buses sold under the new contract will begin only after each of the buses has been accepted by LTD. And one of the things I would change on that, say all of the buses have been accepted by BYD. Then under new contract, first year after acceptance, if the maintenance cost per mile of any of the five buses exceed the average maintenance cost per mile, LTD pays for a comparable diesel bus, BYD will pay LTD the difference in maintenance costs. So that's the basic change of the contract. Now we still have to, at 6 months, if we decide, okay, they're all working and we're good, and okay, if we end into a lease agreement, then we'll come back to the board and talk about the terms of the lease. So, so that's kind of where we are right now. If we operate them for 6 months and decide, okay, you know, maybe they're worth keeping, then we move on. And then we'll go into a lease agreement, which we'll come back to the board and say, well, we can purchase them or lease them and decide which way to go. So up here is kind of the, gives you a kind of outline of what's transpired from the original contract up till now. You see the price per bus originally was $796,829. And with liquidated damages, it brought it down to $746,429. And their proposal in September was $729,000. Their new proposal is $630,000 per bus. So you can see the difference in the totals. The funding sources you can see on the bottom. But also, one of the things Josh asked for was a comparison in, 40-foot bus, diesel bus based on, as opposed to other propulsion systems. So on the bottom, number four, you can see what a diesel bus costs, CNG, hybrid, electric, and hydrogen fuel cell. So that gives you an idea of the cost with the current cost of buses if you're going to buy them today with the LTD options. So
that's the purchase price. Do you know the operational costs for 1 through 5? Are they radically different? For instance, does the fuel cell cost significantly?
Yeah, it's a little early to say right now on the fuel cell buses because there's just not a lot of them in operation. The electric buses, it's still collecting data. It depends on demand chargers. So some places the demand chargers are so high they actually are more costly than diesel to operate. Places where demand chargers are low or there are no demand chargers, they're more reasonable than diesel to operate. CNG overall is less costly than diesel. So hybrids, we
more
get
costly.
about a 30%, 25% savings in fuel, but operating costs, maintenance costs go up over time. So,
if I could add a little bit to that, some of the other things I think are important to consider. First, BYD came back with a very good offer, and they know that we're basically done with them, and we're not buying a bus straight out for them, and we're not using federal dollars at all. They missed the boat on that one. So they know that the only option they can have is to really offer us something else. So they brought the purchase price to a very affordable price for, which is very attractive, I would say. I want to point to a few things. Under the old models or how we typically buy buses, even for the first proposal, we would have the capital upfront cost in a single year, and we would fund that with FTA and match it with general fund. And that's the typical way we buy that. If the board would like us to pursue some type of contract with them, we would, yes.
Just a clarifying question on the last couple of things you said. So you're basically describing a path where instead of an electric bus that costs way more than a diesel bus and we're getting federal or some other help, that here we're now comparing it to a diesel bus and the prices are sort of close and we'd use our regular procurement. As if we were buying buses.
No, normal. This would be like a lease option. And to be able to do that, we would definitely use funding differently. We would not use federal dollars for this agreement at all. So I just want to make sure that I'm clear about the funding. We're going to spend a lot of time probably discussing the back and forth, the pros and the cons of it. But I just want to make sure that that I would hate for us to get too excited and you not understand about that money is we are proposing using probably general fund money in fiscal year 2021. It would be no cost to the current fiscal year. 2021 there would be, and then 2022 through 2032, I would propose to the board that we use STIF dollars for that. Yes.
I want to make sure, are we done with the presentation? And then I will go to Kate.
Can I just answer question about the procurement piece? So because this new offer from BYD is not the result of a competitive procurement, you could not use federal funds. And so we would have to use Oregon funding for that. And so that's just another piece to answer your question, what I outlined in the memo.
Thank you. Just want to check to make sure that there was more presentation, and then I would.
Nope.
For the presentation, it's no, but we think there's going to be a lot of questions.
I'm
trying to categorize them because once we get into the weeds and we go back to the money, it's good. So I was like, let's kind of stay here with the money, and if we perceive that this is a good financial price, then we need to move on to the details of that. Yeah.
So Kate and then Stephen.
Okay, so my first question is, annually from STIF funds, how much would we be putting towards this instead of other things when we get to the 2022 to 2032?
Well, here's what I would first try to do is probably try to competitively bid this, because there's discretionary dollars in STIF. I would first try not to use our formula dollars in STIF. Those are not guaranteed. So conservatively, we would always state, yes, this is a trade-off. If we use the money, STIF dollars for this, we're not using STIF dollars for something else.
Conference will automatically end in 5 minutes.
Nobody called it. Okay. So what I want to make sure we know is, because we don't know what we don't know, if the cost of operating electric buses is so much cheaper, it actually would maybe say, well, we're actually saving money because maybe we're not using these diesel or hybrid buses. Mm-hmm. We don't know that today. The only part that we know about electric buses is what we've been testing and not in full deployment. So we have heard that there is a possibility without the demand charges that electric buses have such low overall maintenance costs that you're actually running a lower cost. But we can't bring that to you in good faith, not having anything that we have tested and nobody on staff that can attest to that. We want to just say, let's treat this for now as if we're bearing the full burden of it. And per year cost, I wanted to put it up there, $262,000, $263,000 for 5 buses. It's not a bad price. And then the remainder would be at over the remaining 11 years. And it would be STIF dollars or general fund dollars, but it would not be federal dollars. So I just kind of want to be clear.
So we have federal dollars.
For 11 buses to purchase, and that's
so
what
we would move forward with that
11.
Also.
Right.
Okay.
So it would be 16 buses, 16 electric buses, 11 of them purchased, and 5 of them potentially leased with the option to buy.
And can I just hit a couple like structural highlights before we get into specific questions? So we have had shockingly favorable negotiations with BYD so far, where they just sign everything we put in front of them. And so I would not change that going forward. So the communication has been between AJ and Mark and BYD, and I've drafted the documents. And that's what I would recommend, is that if the board comes to a consensus to start negotiations, that we continue to do that, and that we add in terms that would be very favorable to us for this deal. Mm-hmm. And so, we would modify some of the things that they proposed, but definitely being very tight on, you know, what happens if that we can terminate for convenience, if it's a lease to own, what that looks like, what the lease rate is, that if the buses aren't in operation or operating a certain amount per month, that then we're not paying that amount of money. And then a sticking point from the prior contract was that we didn't have clarifications on the warranty. And then I think we should just basically write what we want the warranty to be. And so if there's consensus kind of broadly, then I think we can go forward negotiating that and basically putting something in front of them that I expect, based on past history, they would agree to. And then before LTD would sign off on the contract, we'd be required to come back to the board, even if it's a lease, even if we're testing it for 6 months before we can even sign off on a new contract. You'd have to do the sole source findings and authorize the contract. And so that's just like kind of big picture stuff that I wanted you to know before we got into specific questions.
Thanks, Kristen. Stephen.
Thank you, Board President.
You're welcome.
Imagine you've already, Kristen, looked at this, but why must this be termed a new contract and not a renegotiation of the existing contract?
Because we would be outside the scope of what was in the request for proposal document, and so we would violate the procurement rules, and there would be some risk to us there.
Well, but technically, we canceled the contract.
Well, we did technically cancel it. I guess we could technically, you know, we could try to uncancel it, but you have to be careful about when it's a competitive bid going outside the scope, and we're definitely getting outside the scope. Yeah.
Okay. Follow-on question. Thanks for this memo.
Sure.
regarding sole source ORS 279B0752. It discussed that goods or services.
Conference will automatically end in 30 seconds.
We love technology.
28.
That goods are for use in a pilot or experimental project. I want to pull on that a little bit. How detailed is pilot or experimental project?
It's because not defined under the statute. And so that's the extent of the guidance that we have.
And so just picking at that a little bit, could someone argue that this is not a pilot or an experimental project because we buy buses all the time? We lease all the time. Neither one are novel. Therefore, it does not fall under the heading of what would be called a it would not meet that definition.
So they could. That term's not defined, which cuts both ways. It gives us, you know, leeway to make our case, but it gives someone else leeway to contest it. But the procedure under Oregon law is that if you're at a certain threshold of a contract, which this would be because of the dollar value, you have to give notice that you're entering into sole source. So you publish that notice, just like you publish that you're going to do a request for a proposal. And then anybody who wants to challenge that you're doing that, I think they have 7 days to challenge. So we would know before we enter into the contract that someone's challenging it. Mm-hmm. And then the board could make a decision as to, do we want to go forward? Do we not want to go forward? And then once that period is up, they can't challenge it anymore. And I've seen, you know, I think that we could meet that definition because we've been saying all along, we're testing electric buses, we're testing electric buses, you know, and so yes, we buy buses and we lease buses, but this is a new type of technology. And based on, I've had other clients use that exemption and I feel like it was comparable to that, but we would know very early in the process if another contractor was going to protest.
And there's fewer than 10 all electric buses in all of the state, you know, so they are experimental. They are still.
Okay, so that's helpful for me because in my reading of that and talking to someone who works in this field a little bit, is that the difference is, as you just said, there are very few of these buses.
Right.
Therefore, it is clearly experimental or pilot. But if it were not, if it was something that's done in the regular course of business all the time, repeatedly year after year, then it does not fall under the safety net of sole source.
Correct.
Yeah, and that particular finding. And then what we do when we bring the finding is I basically ask staff to give me the factual reasoning like that supports it, and we put it in there. Yeah.
Josh, then Kate, then back. I'm going to say something too.
So two things. First of all, it's my understanding that the Washington State procurement that we were going to sign on to blew up in part because of a challenge. Someone could challenge on illegitimate grounds and postpone, you know, ultimately, you know, what would be found to be illegitimate grounds, but they could essentially drag this out farther. Just give us a sense of the time frame of how long that would take.
Off the top of my head, if you did a sole source procurement, you have to notice it, and I think they have to challenge it within 7 days. So if you go to the next board, let's say December, January board meeting, you do the findings, then the next day LTD publishes it in the newspaper, then any of those 10 electric bus companies would challenge the sole source and they'd have to do it within a week. And then LTD would say, okay, we don't want to bother fighting this protest. We're just going to look at another method and we're not going to do this new contract.
And there's really only four manufacturers.
Okay.
They aren't, I mean, likelihood, they aren't going to touch it because they want to do business with us, you know, at some point.
But you would know very soon. So you would know whenever the board passes the findings, adopts the findings at whatever board meeting that will happen at. And I mean, we have to do some negotiation first to be able to bring that back to the board. The next day, typically, that notice is published. And then there's, a 7 day period after that, and if you survive that 7 day period, then there cannot be any challenge, and so you'll know right away.
Okay, all right, I'll pass on the second one for now.
We go around this way, Don.
Well, I'm just wanting clarification on this. We had gotten this federal money to buy the 5 buses earlier, and that's being rolled forward. We're not going to lose that.
No, we are not. Staff is working on the purchase of 11 electric buses.
Mm-hmm. And five of those are the monies that came from this original contract. So we still are moving forward with 11 electric buses.
Welcome to
this
join
would
me.
Be on top
please
of that.
Enter your conference
it'll be 16
ID
altogether.
And
yes.
The pound
okay.
key.
I'm going to call myself anymore. We're going to keep going around. I just want to say I feel like most, if not all, of the board members here probably are very excited about pushing us toward electrification. And I'll say for myself, I feel a lot of trust and for you, AJ, and your staff to shop around, choose the best kind of electric bus and getting the best deal. I feel like this whole thing boils down to whether we should continue doing business with this particular company. And that's what I would like to hear from you and Emily raised this in an email to me too. It's like, are we just prolonging a breakup with this company? Right. You know, like, cause they've burned us so many times now. I think it's a fair question whether we should, no matter how sweet of a deal they may dangle in front of us, whether we should continue working with them.
I would say this is not a company that I would, based on how they behaved, that I would encourage us to do business with. But I would say there is an advantage to the district and the community in continuing the relationship, provided that the terms are advantageous to us. I would say the one thing we do need to do is test this technology, and we've never had the five buses in full operation. We don't know what we don't know. And if the heaviest risk is on their end and there's an advantage to us, I would say the protection is the contract, not BYD. I would never just turn money over to them, but I definitely would not mind being in an agreement that was advantageous to us, because as long as we pass the risk on to them and they're very eager to do business with us, I do see some advantages to having a fleet of 16 electric buses. This potentially could be 16 buses in 2 years. With knowing that five buses could go away, as Kristen said, if there's a clause for convenience. If there's a clause for convenience, that means the risk is on them for taking buses that basically we used, tested, and got data from, and they bear the burden of returning used buses, and we walk away because it's a lease, so we don't walk away with this big capital upfront cost. The other thing that we do have is, because of the delays of all of this, we've delayed bus purchases, trying to figure out what the right propulsion system is. And what we've been talking to you about for last couple of years is that our buses are aging. So the other thing is maintenance does need a fleet. So this adds five buses that potentially could perform. And if they didn't, we would return them and be in the same situation we are today. So yes, I don't have the confidence in them. And I will say we're in executive session, so this is confidential. But to them, the thing we've been able to say is you've never heard us say anything bad about, and they really value that. That we've really stayed silent about the challenges we've had. So what I share with you is really under this cloak of silence, in which we don't say that to them publicly or say that, but the contract is what protects us. And I think unless the contract was advantageous to us, that allowed us to really walk away, I would say I would not trust them to support us. I just don't have that trust in the company at all.
And the reality is we've been running one of the buses almost for 10 months for free, and another one since April for free. And they've been performing pretty well. There's hope that they can actually get them all functioning at that level. And once they are, they seem to perform reasonably well. So
that's helpful.
And if not, thanks. We just give them back.
I'm going to go Caitlin, Kate, and then Dawn. Oh, yeah, we'll just go keep going in a circle. Go ahead, Caitlin.
Your question was just really similar to mine in terms of, as we see tonight, there's kind of, we're at this critical point with the community scrutinizing decisions that have been made by LTD. And so I just had that concern that if we are entering a contract with a company that is had a very public lawsuit in another city, how does that reflect on LTD? And is that something that you've talked about internally that you're still concerned about?
Yeah, so if you're talking about the Albuquerque one, I mean, they've resolved that, and they okay. both walked away from it and said, we're good, okay. you know, and so there was more than just a bus manufacturer involved. I mean, just there was a lot of politics okay. involved with that, too. So, you know, they've got a lot of buses out, you know, sold, and they're the largest electric vehicle maker in the world. And so, you know, I mean, they're going to be around. Okay. So.
Thank you.
Kate?
Do we know or have any clue what the lease cost would be to us? Is that on here?
Yes.
Where's
$252.5
million. Yeah. It's total investment for 5 buses. It's up there. I do also want to point to the fact that to be able to do a lease option, there would be an additional requirement to for a, and I know, Krista, you were going to look at that, mm-hmm. is for some bank financing. We don't know what that interest rate would be, but as part of our negotiation, we would basically tell BYD that the total cost, including the financing, could not exceed $630 per bus. So that means we're not eating the cost of the financing, because had they delivered a bus, we would have paid for it with all of that. So that would be an area where we would negotiate that we're not paying any additional interest beyond what their initial cost price.
This $262,500 is the annual cost for all 5 buses.
Correct.
And that would be for 12 years. And then we would have paid the buses and we'd own them.
I don't know if it would. Oh. Have you worked out, or do they propose what the term would be, or is it a lease for a certain period of time plus the option of purchase?
They verbally said it would be a lease with an opportunity to pay it off at any time and purchase it. So.
But they didn't say the terms for payoff.
No, but we would negotiate that we would owe zero.
Yeah.
That the total cost per bus is six.
Option to lease the 5 buses for 12 years.
Yes.
In the memo.
12. Okay.
Yes.
That's what they.
But I would say okay. they did speak about us actually owning the buses and being able to pay them off at any time. And you know, because sometimes you have the capital to purchase it all. And again, the benefit to us is what they don't put in this proposal, we can add in. So if that's something the board desires, just so you know, we will add that in.
And so with the financing, it's because they have the cost of the bus and we wouldn't be purchasing it outright. So my understanding, not from talking to them, but AJ, and just thinking about it, is that they would get some type of short-term borrowing, a loan to finance the cost of the buses, and that likely the loan would take a security interest, just like if you purchase a car yep. in the bus. But it's important that if we're leasing it and there's a security interest, we're not allowed under the law to give our assets as security, LTD. So we would need to work out where they continue to own title while we're leasing. So that was what I was talking
okay.
to you about last week, and I thought about it since then. And so that I think we can work through that. And they had told AJ, oh, we can get it at a really low interest rate. And he said 1% on that amount of money is a lot. And so mm-hmm. we could go back and say 630 total.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I think that would be a good counter in the negotiation.
Okay. And then the other part I was just thinking about when we were looking at purchasing buses prior and any non-USA manufacturer, what does this do with that?
The federal legislation?
Dollars?
Yeah, so okay. the federal legislation is still stuck. Nothing is happening federally because other things are happening federally. And so nothing's moved on that proposed legislation. The proposed legislation was just for FTA funding.
Okay.
And so as long as we used local funding, if that legislation went through, it wouldn't affect this.
Okay.
Steven, just checking, let's go around. Josh?
You were next, though, Don. Go for it.
Go ahead, Don.
I was just wondering, Mark, This first bus that they gave us had all of that, you know, it's like they just didn't do a proper job of assembling it. It had all these, are the next ones coming in okay now? We're not seeing that same stuff?
Yeah, they've improved their processes at their plant. I mean, we were early on to their brand new plant, and but, you know, the buses they're turning out now are pretty good buses. So.
Okay, so we're not seeing that same shoddy stuff.
Yeah.
Great. One last quick one.
Yeah, I just want to emphasize at this point about the fleet. Like, if we order new buses, they don't show up immediately. So being able to have buses now and not wait a year or 2 years is a big deal. I also want to say, I just want to plant this seed with board members and staff. I'm not sure we want to own a 12-year-old electric bus. I don't think you want to own anything with 1,000 pounds of used lithium that doesn't actually have as much value as a battery. There's a lot of mumbling in the industry about like what we're going to do end of life with lithium chemistry batteries, and it's not all figured out because everything is new. So I would say if they would take it at the end of 12 years, that should be a stipulation as a possibility, because otherwise we may have to pay to unload it.
No, I think that's a great point. And if we are leasing it, it's important because of the financing piece that we can't own title if there's a security interest in that vehicle. Yeah. And so, if the term is done and we're done with the lease, then we give it back to them.
And when the final point I had is I'm curious from, AJ, Mark, and Kristen's point of view, if you feel comfortable, I just don't have a sense of the details of other kinds of contracts we've written like this, but comfortable writing ironclad language about the maintenance costs, because at a high level, saying, oh yeah, if it doesn't cost more to maintain than a diesel bus, then we'll fill in the difference, sounds great, but there are 1,000 moving parts to that.
It needs to be a lot more specific. So,
unbelievably more. I mean, it becomes performance contracting then. And like, do we get to count time? I mean, as I said by email, do we get to count time that it's not running?
We would work out in the contract that if they're a minimum uptime, so they have to be up a minimum amount of time. If a bus is down for half the month, then it's going to be prorated lease. I mean, we're not going to pay for buses that aren't working. So
it would be that it would affect the lease rate, and then we have to be really tight on so the provision that I think you also were hitting was that if the maintenance cost per mile of any of the 5 buses exceed the average maintenance cost per mile LTD pays for a comparable diesel bus, BYD will pay the difference.
And we know the maintenance cost of every bus out there.
I think we have to spell out what that cost is and what goes into calculating that. Mm-hmm. So you spell out not only, the cost, but the procedure by which the formula, by which you get that cost. Yeah. And so that, there needs to be a lot more specificity there, but I think that we can do it. And I've never drafted, my office has never drafted contracts like, my experience with municipal clients, they were so favorable to LTD, it's unreal, and they did not blink an eye.
Yeah.
And so we shouldn't change that. We need to be tight on that, but I think that we need to see what... It's just they're not paying attention to this, that level of detail. So let's do what we can to protect our interests.
They're not paying that close of attention in that bus price. Can we move the numbers around a little bit?
In the interest of time, because we do have another executive session we have to get to, I'm going to go on a limb and say that I feel like, let's start this. Is there a consensus that we would like to pursue a contract with BYD? And I'm going to add a part two that we're leaning towards a leasing option versus a buying option. So just you can say yes or nod your head or thumbs up. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But does anybody have an objection?
Oh, yeah. How about this? Do you object to that? Like if he's like, we should not be doing business with BYD.
Because anything we negotiate is going to come back for you to approve. So nothing's approved right now. We just don't know if we could proceed and entertain more time in that. But so if anybody's like really opposed to that, we need to know. So that way we know this is not time well invested.
I'm just emphasizing the maximum flexibility.
Yeah.
Yeah. So buy, lease to buy, all of it. Yeah.
I feel like Emily is probably on board with this just based on her prior comments. Mm-hmm.
when she brought up the lease idea.
Yeah.
She was very excited about that. Yeah. Yeah. So, so it sounds like just making sure everyone would be supportive of that. Okay, great. Any other terms? So I heard, yes, flexibility, I agree. Opportunity to buy. As an owner of a almost 9-year-old electric car, if they can take it back, I would say that would be a really good idea.
So,
I just want to confirm one thing. So the trade disruption that we talked about affects only federal funding. Is that right? Because we've talked about getting parts from us. It's only federal.
And it's only federal funding, and the legislation that we were looking at still hasn't passed.
Yeah, it's
just been on hold. But yes, so it wouldn't affect us if we're using a local funding source, assuming it passed as is presented. Yeah,
cool.
Okay. Kristen, are there any other terms or things that you need from us that you think you need from us to be even more favorable towards LTD?
No, not at the moment.
I appreciate what your philosophy and mentality towards this contract. So great. Okay, hearing none, I'm going to go ahead and close this executive session and open a new one. So this one is, this board will now meet in executive non-public session pursuant to 192.6602E to conduct deliberations with persons designated by the governing body to negotiate real property transactions.
Okay, back again. So I sent a memo, and Joe and I are working on this, and I'm going to recap the memo, but not read it or summarize it, in a level of detail. So really big picture, West Eugene EMX has been constructed and operating for a long time, and we're still tying up some kind of loose ends behind the scenes, and there's two big and related issues that I outline in my memo. One is that to construct this system, we, LTD, acquired a lot of property, basically strips of property from private landowners in order to expand the roadway, especially there was dedicated bus lanes, and so those strips of roadway or property became sidewalks and bus stations and the bus lanes. And so we did that over a series of many, many years. And 6th and 7th at that time were in ODOT jurisdiction. And the main other roads are Garfield and West 11th, but anything not 6th and 7th were in City of Eugene jurisdiction. So the City of Eugene had different requirements from ODOT about how to take title to a property. And so I do outline that in my memo. I'm happy to answer questions, but I'm not going to go into that level of detail here. We're at the process, or at the point now, where we need to transfer these properties, of which LTD owns title, to the city. The city took over the ODOT jurisdiction, so the city now owns that property, 6th and 7th. There's some properties along Garfield and West 11th. And so there will be like a batch transfer process, I envision. And so that's step one. Step two is that the city charges franchise fees for anyone who operates a telecommunications system in their right-of-way. We have purchased the right-of-way and are about to transfer it to the city, and upon their ownership, we would be subject to that fee. We have an agreement that we're not going to pay that fee with them. But there is a process set out in their ordinance whereby they can waive the fee by providing in-kind services. So basically the attorneys have to figure out how to structure the deal. But both parties agree that no fees will be paid. And so we need to open up negotiations with the city to start the property transfer and to negotiate the franchise fee. And so those are the two big but remaining issues to finalize around the West Eugene project. Again, this is just something that we're coming from like consensus and a head nod from the board to say, yes, proceed as you stated. So we can start having those discussions on both of those issues. We would come back to the board for final approval. So before we transferred any property, we would come back to the board because that's required under the board's contracting authority resolution. And before we entered into any franchise fee agreement with the city, we would likewise come back for board approval. But we need to start having those discussions with the city. And so that's why we're presenting today.
How okay. long does that agreement stay in place?
The franchise fee agreement, it's either 20 or 25 years okay. is what the, I don't know if the ordinance provides that, but every franchise fee agreement, they've given me some templates and they're 20 or 25 years. They're often renewed, but that's typically what the term is. So we would want to talk about a very long term leader. And that really the parties don't ever see us paying that. Whether it will state that in this agreement or not, I'm not sure.
What would the cost have been if the fees aren't waived?
So it's such a long area. So we have fiber underneath that. And the total round trip, I think, is like 6.8 miles. But we've already... but we have to take out the ODOT jurisdiction because we already entered into one of these agreements with ODOT. And so I'm not sure what it would be when you take out ODOT, but it would be a lot of money. I mean, I think conservatively it would be $75,000 a year. And so it's a lot of money. And like I said, both parties, I mean, we have a deal that LTD is not going to pay that, and the city doesn't want to get that from LTD. They were in very long litigation over this issue with Comcast that went up through the Oregon courts and back down and back up again. And so we do have to structure it in a way that meets the requirements of their ordinance. And I think their public agreements and they're viewed very much and they have a sour history with this ordinance. But everybody agrees we can get there.
Great. Josh.
So I was on the City of Eugene Budget Committee for 5 years and saw that whole Comcast thing. Well,
that's right.
Only part of it because Comcast, it went on longer than that. Mm-hmm. I would say that the City of Eugene has a sour history with Comcast, not so much with the ordinance.
No, but they did the say they need to be there. They do have it, but they did say that, you know, they do this deal with other municipalities yep. all the time. And they've provided me examples of how they feel that it's been calculated so that they don't get a challenge from yeah. a private entity. And so that's all that's the part that the attorneys need to figure out how to yeah. structure it. Everybody agrees on the end point.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. The thing I was going to say, because the city is going through a renegotiation of its franchise fee agreement with Northwest Natural as well.
Yeah,
I think this has been on people's mm-hmm. radar of just achieving more, of looking at these agreements as a way to achieve policy objectives.
Mm-hmm.
I don't see there's any reason that we can't say, you know, we should have really favorable terms because we're helping provide transit out here. It sort of helps the city meets its goals.
Yes.
I think that's how we're different from other franchise fee you know, folks.
And my position, I mean, I will say we've loosely been talking with the city about this since 2017, and we have kind of waited on the city to call us, and they call about once a year. And then my last conversation was like, hey, you don't own all the property, so we're early, we're not late. And it's a good time that you call to talk about this. But my position has been nobody else acquires property, you know, that's going to then transfer it to you. And so it is a big public benefit. And so we just need to incorporate that in the agreement. And I don't anticipate it'll be a difficult negotiation. We just need to work through all that stuff.
Don.
We have this moving ahead project going too. Are we going to have similar things that we've done on West 6th and 7th? Have to acquire property on Covert Road and River Road, and then
if the approved final design includes using private property that we would then purchase, yes, it would be. Or if we were, I think even using public property, I think if public property they just give us access, we don't actually take ownership and have to transfer it back, but it's private property.
Yeah, I mean, if you're acquiring property for public transportation purposes,
yeah.
then it would be going through the same process, which is eminent domain, whether...
But would we need to own, I mean, if the city of Eugene owned the property,
so,
and just gave us the right to run our...
Yeah, so what I will say is that our office was not involved in this project until 2017. And so I came in at 90% complete. I don't know. Does that sound right?
Probably,
you know,
more.
We got the all the ones that were not resolved yet 4 or 5 years into the project. And so I think those are really good questions. And the West Eugene AMX, it was a huge acquisition. And I would definitely want to have those conversations at the beginning of the process, if we do another, you know, acquisition with more than just one, like one here, one there, of how to structure it, and whether LTD is the entity that is on the front end doing eminent domain, if ultimately the city's going to own it or not. And so our office was not involved in those beginning conversations. And so we just followed the process that had been going on for a long time, but it's a good question. And I think that the involved entities would need to talk about the process and everybody agree on it from the beginning. if we do that again, and it will be really helpful to do that going forward.
Okay. Other questions? Yes, Josh.
I just want to say, if we do MX lines and, you know, if that ends up being our locally preferred alternative for any of these routes, there's a lot of transformation of right-of-way, so we should expect more of that,
mm-hmm.
just to sort of set expectations. I would make that comment. And then also, you just said eminent domain, but my understanding is we never actually had to resort to eminent domain.
Well, so eminent domain can be negotiated or litigated, okay? And so anytime any government entity takes property,
yeah.
It triggers eminent domain, and that means, you know, the property is appraised and you purchase it from the landowner. A lot were resolved through negotiation. However, some were not, and it was a handful of which LTD filed pleadings, litigation in court, and all of those, nothing went to a trial. But there were many settlement conferences. We had one judge at the court. He just had so much history with these LTD things. And so we went to a lot of settlement conferences with him. And there were some that were litigated, but not through trial. And so everything ended up being resolved through negotiated settlement. But some, there were a handful, you know, probably less than 20. Does that sound right? Court cases filed out of everything.
Okay, well, and I don't want to have you give more of that history verbally. I would just say, having been very close to the West Eugene MX chaos, that the specter of eminent domain is something that people bring up as a way of saying big bad government is coming to eat you. And I think that was the fact that that was not the norm, and I actually thought we had gotten even farther than that, but saying there was nothing that actually sort of went all the way to trial or something like that. I mean, it was settlement rather than litigation for all of them. Is that fair?
Yeah,
to say?
It was.
Okay,
yes. I mean, everything was a negotiated settlement, whether we had to involve the court in that or whether LTD was just able to negotiate directly with the property owner. There are a lot of factors that go into the decision to settle on eminent domain that are complicated. I'm happy to talk to you more about that. But there's a lot of things that we can do to structure it if we have a project going forward. And so there's just really good points that are being raised that we'll talk about if we do that again.
And it just seems like if we're starting from here, we should make a decision whether, okay, do we need to own that property or are we just going to run the process on top of the property?
I totally agree with you. Totally agree. Like I said, you know, we came in very late in the project. And so I don't know if LTD would be the originating entity declaring eminent domain going forward, and that I'd want to talk to the city attorney. I mean, that's like a number one question that I have.
Today.
Yeah. And so, yes, we have conversations to have if we do this going forward.
Stephen's waiting patiently. Go ahead, Stephen.
Thank you. Appreciate that.
Just want to be clear, prior to this particular property that we're talking about, the 6.8 odd miles,
yeah,
whatever it is, are we paying a franchise fee right now?
No, because they've all been waived under the same type of agreement. So LTD is subject to them on every EMX corridor, and there are in-kind agreements that waive them.
Mm-hmm.
Because they are geographically shorter distances, the map that we used makes sense for those, and the map is just going to have to be a little bit more creative under this agreement.
Okay.
But the city has waived all of them, so we're not paying. And we have agreements for 20 or 25 years on all those with a nod that they'll continue to be waived.
Okay, so this is avoiding a new fee. It's not negating an existing fee.
That's right. It's avoiding a new fee, yes.
So just making sure we're going to be able to come to a consensus here. I kind of feel like we are, so we're okay with, authorizing giving you the authority to negotiate for an in-kind agreement regarding franchise fees. Okay, so I think thumbs up, head nods. Okay, just gonna say, I see everyone doing that. So I think you guys are clear. Any other questions for the board? Excellent. Okay, I'm gonna go ahead and close this public session. So now we're out of public session, but I believe we have a dinner break, and then we will return at 5:30 p.m. for the regular board meeting.
We got a lot of work to do.
So we have a lot of work to do.
That is a tiny puppy. I was going to talk to you about. Oh.
She just looks right at you.
Well, and I was going to tell Kelly
Yes. I am not sure, but I'll text her and see.
Camille and I tested out that new system twice, and it didn't beep like that. We have no idea.
Oh, yeah, I wasn't sure. I thought maybe it was because I was just waiting for someone.
No, because I dialed into it just to see if that was the problem.
Oh, was it?
And it kept beeping. So I had her just hang up because we checked, and Emily anxiety.
She would have texted me. I'm sure she would have texted me.
So I don't know if you have a way to contact her to see, because I won't turn it on if she's not going to call in.
I'll ask her if she's coming in. Yeah.
Oh, she's so cute. How old is she? Isabella?
Yes.
Oh,
my goodness. This thing's like 5 times the size.
I know. That's like the smallest bag there is.
Oh, my gosh.
I know.
It's like a pink human.
The next quarter, it's like a lot of problems.
Oh,
she's so funny. Yeah. It's growing.
Oh, thanks. That's okay. I'll pop on his face. I got a lot of